Part 4. Managing in Agile. In this part, in the following chapters, I explain how to use agile processes to manage the different areas of responsibility that most projects have in common, such as scope, procurement, time, cost, team dynamics, communication, quality, and risk. You come to understand the important differences between historical project management and agile approaches for each project management area. You see how to apply the different 12 agile principles to each area, and how self-organizing scrum teams can work with different agile artifacts and events to successfully manage agile projects. Chapter 12, Managing Scope and Procurement. In this chapter, we'll cover finding out how scope management is different on agile projects, managing scope and scope changes with agile processes, seeing the different approach agile processes bring to procurement, and managing procurement on agile projects. Scope management is part of every project. To create a project, you have to understand basic product requirements and the work it will take to create those requirements. You need to be able to prioritize and manage scope changes as new requirements arise. You have to verify that finished product features fulfill customer needs. Procurement is also part of many projects. If you need to look outside of your organization for help completing a project, you should know how to go about procuring goods and services. You'll want to know how to collaborate with vendor teams during the project. You should also know something about creating contracts and different cost structures. In this chapter, you find out how to manage scope within an agile project and take advantage of agile methodologies' welcoming approach to informed change. You also find out how to manage procurement of goods and services to deliver product scope on an agile project. First, I review traditional scope management. What's different about scope in agile? Historically, a large part of project management is scope management. Product scope is all the features and requirements that a product includes. Project scope is all the work involved in creating a product. Unlike many traditional projects, agile projects have variable scope so that project teams can incorporate learning and feedback and ultimately create better products. The methodologists who crafted the Agile Manifesto and 12 Agile Principles recognized that scope change is natural and beneficial. Agile approaches specifically embrace change and use it to make better informed, more useful products. Chapter 2 detailed the Agile Manifesto and the 12 Agile Principles. If you want a quick review, go back and listen to that chapter now. I'll wait. The manifesto and the principles answer the question, how agile are we? The degree to which your project approach supports the manifesto and the principles helps determine how agile your methods are. The agile principles that relate the most to scope management are 1. Our highest priority is to satisfy the customer through early and continuous delivery of valuable software. 2. Welcome changing requirements, even late in development. Agile processes harness change for the customer's competitive advantage. 3. Deliver working software frequently, from a couple of weeks to a couple of months, with a preference to the shorter timescale. And 10. Simplicity, the art of maximizing the amount of work not done, is essential. Agile approaches to scope management are fundamentally different than traditional methods for scope management. Consider the differences you see in Table 12.1. At any point in an agile project, anyone, the scrum team, stakeholders, or anyone else in the organization with a good idea, can identify new product requirements. The product owner determines the value and priority of new requirements and adds those requirements to the product backlog. Technical stuff. Within traditional project management, there is a term to describe requirements that change after the project's initial definition phase. It's called scope creep. Waterfall doesn't have a positive way to incorporate changes mid-project, so scope changes often cause large problems with a waterfall project schedule and budget. For a review on the waterfall methodology, go back and listen to Chapter 1. Mention scope creep to a seasoned project manager, and you might see him or her shudder. During sprint planning at the beginning of each sprint, the Scrum team can use the product backlog priority to help decide whether a new requirement should be part of the sprint. Lower priority requirements stay in the product backlog for future consideration. For a quick review on planning sprints, go back and listen to Chapter 8. The next section addresses how to manage scope on an Agile project. How to manage scope in Agile. Welcoming scope change helps you create the best product possible. Embracing change, however, requires that you understand the current scope and know how to deal with updates as they arise. Luckily, Agile projects have straightforward ways to manage new and existing requirements. 1. The product owners. Ensure that all the rest of the project team, the Scrum team plus the project stakeholders, clearly understand the existing scope for the project vision, the current release goal, and the current sprint goal. 2. Product owners. Determine the value and priority of new requirements in relation to the product vision, release, sprint goals, and existing requirements. And 3. Develop teams. Create product requirements in order of priority to release the new important parts of the product first. In the following sections, you find out how to understand and convey scope in different parts of an Agile project. You see how to evaluate priorities as new requirements arise. You also find out how to use the product backlog and other Agile artifacts to manage scope. Understanding scope throughout the project. At each stage in an Agile project, the Scrum team manages scope in different ways. A good way to look at scope management throughout a project is by using the roadmap to value, shown in Figure 12.1. Consider each part of the roadmap to value. Stage 1, vision. The product vision statement is the first step in establishing project scope. The product owner is responsible for ensuring that all members of the project team know the product vision statement and that everyone on the project team interprets the statement correctly. Stage 2, product roadmap. During product roadmap creation, the product owner refers back to the vision statement and ensures that features fit the vision statement. As new features materialize, the product owner needs to understand those features and clearly communicate their scope to the development team and stakeholders. Stage 3, release planning. During release planning, the product owner needs to determine a release goal and select only the scope that supports that goal. Stage 4, sprint planning. During sprint planning, the product owner needs to ensure that the Scrum team understands the release goal and plans each sprint goal based on that release goal. The product owner also selects only the scope that supports the sprint goal. The product owner will also ensure that the development team understands the scope of the individual user stories selected for the sprint. Stage 5, daily Scrum. The daily Scrum meeting can be a launching point for a scope change for future sprints. The daily Scrum meeting is a focused 15-minute meeting for the development team to state 3 things: the preceding day's completed work, the scope of work for the coming day, and any roadblocks the development team may have. However, the 3 subjects of the daily Scrum often reveal larger opportunities for scope changes. When topics come up that warrant a bigger discussion than the time and format of the daily Scrum meeting allows, a Scrum team can decide to have an after-party meeting. In the after-party, Scrum team members talk about anything, including potential changes, in detail. Stage 6, sprint review. The product owner sets the tone of each sprint review meeting by reiterating the scope of the sprint, which are the sprint goals that the Scrum team pursued and what was completed. It's important, especially during the first sprint reviews, that the stakeholders in the meeting have the right expectations about scope. Sprint reviews can be inspiring. When the entire project team is in one room, interacting with the working product, they may look at the product in new ways and come up with ideas to improve the product. The product owner updates the product backlog with new scope based on discussions in the sprint review. And finally, stage 7, sprint retrospective. In the sprint retrospective, the Scrum team can discuss how well they met the scope commitments they made at the beginning of the sprint. If the development team was not able to achieve the sprint goal identified during the sprint planning, they'll need to refine planning and work processes to make sure they can select the right amount of work for each sprint. If the development team met their goals, they can use the sprint retrospective to come up with ways to add more scope to future sprints. Scrum teams aim to improve productivity with every sprint. Introducing scope changes. Many people, even people outside of the organization, can suggest a new product feature on an agile project. You might see new ideas for features from the following. 1. User community feedback, including groups or people who are given an opportunity to preview the product. 2. Business stakeholders who see a new market opportunity or threat. 3. Executives and senior managers who have insight into long-term organizational strategies and changes. 4. The development team, which is learning more about the product every day and is closest to the working product. 5. The Scrum Master, who may find an opportunity while working with external departments or clearing development team roadblocks. And 6. The Product Owner, who often knows the most about the product and stakeholder needs. Because you will receive suggestions for product changes throughout an Agile project, you want to determine which changes are valid and manage the updates. Keep listening to learn how. Managing scope changes. When you get new requirements, use the following steps to evaluate and prioritize the requirements and update the product backlog. Warning: do not add new requirements to sprints already in progress unless the development team requests them. 1. Assess whether the new requirement should be part of the project, the release, or the sprint by asking some key questions about the requirement. A. Does the new requirement support the product vision statement? If yes, add the requirement to the product backlog and product roadmap. If no, the requirement shouldn't be part of the project. It may be a good candidate for a separate project. B. Does the new requirement support the current release goal? If yes, the requirement is a candidate for the current release plan. If no, leave the requirement on the product backlog for a future release. And C, does the new requirement support the current sprint goal? If yes, and the sprint is not started, the requirement is a candidate for the current sprint backlog. If no, leave the requirement on the product backlog for a future sprint. 2. Estimate the effort for the new requirement. The development team estimates the effort. For a review of how to estimate requirements, go back and listen to Chapter 7. 3. Prioritize the requirement against other requirements in the product backlog and add the new requirement to the product backlog in order of priority. Consider the following. A. The product owner knows the most about the product's business needs and how important the new requirement may be in relation to other requirements. The product owner may also reach out to project stakeholders for additional insight to a requirement's priority. B. The development team may also have technical insight about a new requirement's priority. For example, if requirement A and requirement B have equal business value, but you need to complete requirement B for requirement A to be feasible, the development team will need to alert the product owner. C. While the development team and project stakeholders can provide information to help prioritize a requirement, determining priority is ultimately the product owner's job. And D. Adding new requirements to the product backlog may mean other requirements move down the list in the product backlog. Figure 12.2 shows the addition of a new requirement in the product backlog. The product backlog is a complete list of all known scope for the product and is your most important tool for managing scope change on an agile project. Keeping the product backlog up to date will allow you to quickly prioritize and add new requirements. With a current product backlog, you always understand the scope left in a project. Chapter 7 has more information about prioritizing requirements. Using Agile artifacts for scope management. From the vision statement through the sprint plan, all the artifacts in Agile project management support you in your scope management efforts. You should decompose requirements progressively as features rise to the top of the priority list. Table 12.2 reveals how each artifact, including the product backlog, contributes to ongoing scope refinement. What's different about procurement in Agile? Another part of project management is procurement, managing the purchase of services or goods needed to deliver the product's scope. Like scope, procurement is part of the investment side of a project. Chapter 2 explained that the Agile Manifesto values customer collaboration over contract negotiation. This sets an important tone for procurement relationships on Agile projects. Valuing customer collaboration more than contract negotiation doesn't mean that Agile projects have no contracts. Contracts and negotiation are critical to business relationships. However, the Agile Manifesto sets forth the idea that a buyer and seller should work together to create products, and that the relationship between the two is more important than quibbling over ill-informed details and checking off contract items that may or may not ultimately be valuable to customers. All 12 Agile principles apply to procurement on Agile projects. However, the following 6 seem to stand out the most when securing goods and services for an Agile project. Number 2. Welcome changing requirements, even late in development. Agile processes harness change for the customer's competitive advantage. Number 3. Deliver working software frequently, from a couple of weeks to a couple of months, with a preference to the shorter timescale. Number 4. Business people and developers must work together daily throughout the project. Number 5. Build projects around motivated individuals. Give them the environment and support they need and trust them to get the job done. Number 10. Simplicity. The art of maximizing the amount of work not done is essential. And number 11. The best architectures, requirements, and designs emerge from self-organizing teams. Table 12.3 highlights the differences between procurement on traditional projects and procurement on Agile projects. Technical stuff. Both Waterfall and Agile project teams are interested in vendor success. Traditional project approaches were firm in their accountability for compliance, defining success as checking off documents and deliverables from a list. Agile project approaches, by contrast, are firm in their accountability for end results, defining success with working products. The next section shows how to manage procurement on Agile projects. How to manage procurement in Agile. This section focuses on how Agile project teams go through the procurement process, from determining need, selecting a vendor, and creating a contract, through working with a vendor and closing out the contract at the end of a buyer-seller project. Determining need and selecting a vendor. On Agile projects, procurement starts when the development team decides it needs a tool or the services of another company in order to create the product. Remember, Agile project development teams are self-managing and self-organizing, and they get to make the decisions about what is best for maximizing development output. Self-management applies to all project management areas, including procurement. To find out more about self-managing teams, go back and review Chapter 6 and 14. Development teams have a number of opportunities to consider outside goods and services. They are 1. The product vision stage. The development team may start thinking about the tools and skills necessary to help reach the product goals. At this stage, it may be prudent to research needs, but not begin the purchase process. 2. Product roadmap stage. The development team starts to see specific features to create and may know some of the goods or services necessary to help create the product. 3. The release planning. The development team knows more about the product and can identify specific goals or services that will help meet release goals. 4. Sprint planning. The development team is in the trenches of development and may identify urgent needs for the sprint. 5. The daily scrum. Development team members state impediments. Procuring goods or services may help remove these impediments. 6. Throughout the day. Development team members communicate with one another and collaborate on tasks. Specific needs may arise from the development team's conversations. 7. Sprint review meeting. Project stakeholders may identify new requirements for future sprints that warrant procurement of goods or services. And finally, 8. Sprint retrospective. The development team may discuss how having a specific tool or service could have helped the past sprint and suggest a purchase for future sprints. Here's a tip. Sometimes you can find the goods or services you need for a project within your organization. Before looking at buying an item or working with vendors, the Scrum Master determines if the tools or the person with the skills to fulfill the services the development team needs are available internally. If internal resources or people can meet the development team's needs, the Scrum team saves money. Once a development team determines it needs a good or service, the development team and the Scrum Master work with the product owner to procure any necessary funds. The product owner is responsible for the project budget, so the product owner is ultimately responsible for any project purchases. When procuring goods, the development team may need to compare tools and vendors before deciding upon a purchase. When procuring goods, once you choose what to buy and where to get it, the process is usually straightforward. Make the purchase, take delivery, and procurement is then complete. Procuring services is usually a longer and more complex process than purchasing goods. Some Agile-specific considerations for selecting a services vendor include 1. Whether the vendor can work in an Agile project environment, and if so, how much experience the vendor has with Agile projects. 2. Whether the vendor can work on-site with a development team. And 3. Whether the relationship between the vendor and the Scrum team is likely to be positive and collaborative. Warning: the organization or company you work for may be subject to laws and regulations for choosing vendors. Companies involved in government work, for example, often need to gather multiple proposals and bids from companies for work that will cost more than a certain amount of money. While your cousin or your friend from college may be the most qualified person to complete the work, you may run into trouble if you don't follow applicable laws. Check with your company's legal department if you are in doubt about how to streamline bloated processes. After you pick a service vendor, you need to create a contract so that the vendor can start work. The next section explains how contracts work on Agile projects. Contracts and cost approaches for services. After the development team and the product owner have chosen a vendor, you need a contract to ensure agreement on the services and pricing. To start the contract process, you should know about different pricing structures and how they work with Agile projects. Once you understand these approaches, you see how to create a contract. Cost structures. When you are procuring services for an Agile project, it's important to know the difference between a fixed price project, a fixed time project, and a time and materials project. Each approach has its own strengths in an Agile setting. 1. Fixed price projects. Start out with a set budget. In a fixed price project, a vendor works on the project and creates releases until that vendor has spent all of the money in the budget, or until you have delivered enough product features, whichever comes first. For example, if you have a $250,000 budget and your vendor costs are $10,000 a week, the vendor's portion of the project will be able to last 25 weeks. Within those 25 weeks, the vendor creates and releases as much shippable functionality as possible. 2. Fixed-time projects. These have specific deadlines. For example, you may need to launch a product in time for the next holiday season, for a specific event, or to coincide with the release of another product. With fixed-time projects, you determine costs based on the cost of the vendor's team for the duration of the project, along with any additional resource costs, such as hardware or software. 3. Time and materials projects. These are more open-ended than fixed-price or fixed-time projects. Within time and materials projects, your work with the vendor lasts until enough product functionality is complete, without regard to total project cost. In a time and materials project, you know the total project cost at the end of the project, once your stakeholders have determined that the product has enough features to call the project complete. For example, if your project costs $10,000 a week, and after 20 weeks, the stakeholders feel they have enough valuable product features, your project cost is $200,000. If the customer deems that he or she has enough value by the end of 10 weeks, the project cost is half that amount, $100,000. And finally, 4, not to exceed projects. These are projects in which time and materials have a fixed price cap. Remember, regardless of the cost approach, on agile projects, concentrate on completing the highest value product features first. Creating a contract. Once you know the project's cost approach, the Scrum Master needs to help create a contract. Contracts are legally binding agreements between buyers and sellers that set expectations about work and payment. The person responsible for creating contracts differs by organization. In some cases, a person from the legal or procurement department drafts a contract and then asks the Scrum Master to review it. In other cases, the opposite occurs. The Scrum Master drafts the contract and has a legal or procurement expert review it. Regardless of who creates the contract, the Scrum Master is generally responsible for initiating the contract creation, negotiating the contract details, and routing the contract through any necessary internal approvals. The agile approach of placing value on collaboration over negotiation is a key to maintaining a positive relationship between a buyer and a seller while creating and negotiating a contract. The Scrum Master works closely with the vendor and communicates openly and often with the vendor throughout the contract creation process. Bid it low and watch it grow. The fallacy of lowballing the vendor. Trying to bully vendors into providing the lowest possible price is always a lose-lose situation. Contractors in industries where projects always go to the lowest bidder have a saying, bid low and watch it grow. It is common for vendors to provide a low price during a project's proposal process and then add multiple change orders until the buyer ends up paying as much or more than he or she would have for higher-priced offers. The traditional project management model supports this practice by locking in scope and price at the project's start, when you know almost nothing about the product. Change orders and their accompanying cost increases are inevitable. A better model is for the vendor and buyer to collaborate on defining the product's scope, within fixed cost and schedule constraints as the project unfolds. Both parties can reap the benefits of what they learn during the project, and you end up with a better product. Instead of trying to be a tough negotiator, be a good collaborator. Warning: regardless of the size of your company or organization, it is a very good idea to create a contract between your company and your vendor for services. Skipping the contract can leave buyers and sellers open to confusion about expectations, unfinished work, and even legal problems. At the very least, most contracts have legal language describing the parties and the work, the budget, the cost approach, and payment terms. A contract for an agile project may also include the following. 1. A description of the work that the vendor will complete. The vendor may have its own product vision statement, which may be a good starting point to describe the vendor's work. You may want to refer to the product vision statement in Chapter 7. 2. Agile approaches that the vendor may use. They may include A. Meetings that the vendor will attend, such as the daily scrum, sprint planning, sprint review, and sprint retrospective meetings. B. Delivery of working functionality at the end of each sprint. C. The definition of done, discussed in Chapter 9, which was work that is developed, tested, integrated, and documented per an agreement between the product owner and the development team. D. Artifacts that the vendor will provide, such as a sprint backlog with a burn-down chart for status. E. People whom the vendor will have on the project, like the development team. F. Whether the vendor will work on-site at your company. G. Whether the vendor will work with its own Scrum Master and product owner, or if it will work with your Scrum Master and product owner. And finally, H, a definition of what may constitute the end of the engagement, which is the end of a fixed budget or fixed time, or enough complete working functionality. And finally, 3. If the vendor doesn't use agile approaches, describe how the vendor and the vendor's work will integrate with the buyer's development team and sprints. This is not a comprehensive list. Contract items vary by project and organization. The contract will likely go through a few rounds of reviews and changes before the final version is complete. One way to clearly communicate changes and maintain a good relationship with a vendor is to speak with the vendor each time you propose a change. If you email a revised contract, follow up with a call to explain what you changed and why, answer any questions, and discuss any ideas for further revision. Open discussion helps the contract process be positive. If anything substantial about the vendor's services changes during contract discussions, it's a good idea for the product owner or the scrum master to review those changes with the development team. The development team especially needs to know and provide input about changes to the service the vendor will provide, the vendor's approach, and the people on the vendor's team. Here's a tip. It's quite likely that your company and the vendor will require reviews and approvals by people outside of their respective project teams. People who review contracts might include high-level managers or executives, procurement specialists, accounting people, and company attorneys. This differs by organization. The Scrum Master needs to ensure that anyone who needs to read the contract does so. Now that you understand a little about how to select a vendor and create a contract, it's time to look at how procurement differs among companies and organizations. Organizational considerations for procurement. The way your company approaches procurement will make a difference in how you go about selecting a vendor and creating and negotiating a contract. Because procurement involves money and legal contracts, purchase procedures and decisions are sometimes outside a project team's control. Considerations for procurement activities can include the following. 1. Company or organization size and experience. Smaller and newer companies may have less formality, allowing project managers autonomy over purchases. Larger and more established companies tend to have more overhead with purchasing. Some companies have whole departments with people working full-time on procurement. 2. Company or organization type. Some organizations, like government agencies, have legally required procurement processes and documents to complete. Private companies may have fewer restrictions on procurement than publicly traded companies because of differences in laws for public companies. And 3. Company or organization culture. Many organizations involve the project team in procurement decisions. However, this is not always the case, and project teams sometimes find themselves working with goods or services providers they had no part in choosing. Some companies are rather informal and don't require much documentation or process for procurement. Other companies require documents to justify the need for a good or service, formal proposals from sellers, and multiple approvals at each step in procurement. If you are working on an agile project in an organization with heavy procurement processes and a separate procurement department, you must balance those processes with agile processes. A good way to ensure agile processes during the procurement is for the Scrum Master to work closely with the procurement department staffers. In Chapter 6, I noted that the Scrum Master makes sure that the organization follows agile practices and principles. In this role, the Scrum Master helps explain agile approaches to procurement specialists. The Scrum Master may find it worthwhile to help translate organizational requirements into agile processes. Remember, the Scrum Master makes sure procurement people understand why a contract may need to accommodate changing requirements and iterations. The Scrum Master sets the tone for the contract creation process to be collaborative. If an agile project team has support from an organization's upper management, it may be easier to work agile approaches into an organization's procurement processes. Here's another tip. A good way to get support for moving agile approaches into your organization's procurement processes is to ensure that upper management knows the benefits of agile methods. Benefits like better product quality, reduced risk, and more control and visibility of product performance help make a strong argument for using agile processes when working with vendors. In Chapter 18, I'll provide you with a list of key benefits of agile project management. Organizations with light or no procurement processes provide different challenges for an agile project, or for any project for that matter. Scrum masters may find themselves starting procurement activities from scratch with little precedent or support. Here's a warning. People who sign contracts should have the authorization to make financial decisions for a company, and they often are people at the executive level. Scrum masters and product owners usually don't have this type of authorization. When in doubt, ask around. Find the right signatory. After you choose a vendor and have a signed contract, the vendor can start work. In the next section, you see that, like the initial procurement processes, working with vendors has special considerations for agile projects. Working with a vendor. How you work with a vendor on an agile project depends in part upon the vendor team structure. In an ideal situation, vendor teams are fully integrated with the buyer's organization. The vendor's team members are co-located with the buyer's scrum team. Vendor team members work as part of the buyer's development team for as long as necessary. Here's a tip. Some development teams include vendor team members in their daily scrum meetings. This can be a good way to get an idea of what the vendor team is doing every day and to help the development team work more closely with the vendor. You can also invite vendors to your sprint reviews to keep them informed on your progress. Vendor teams also can be integrated but dislocated. If the vendor can't work on site at the buyer's company, it can still be part of the buyer's scrum team. In Chapter 14, I'll cover more information on team dynamics on agile projects. This information applies to internal scrum teams and vendor teams. If a vendor can't be co-located, or if the vendor is responsible for a discrete separate part of the product, the vendor may have a separate scrum team. The vendor's scrum team works on the same sprint schedule as the buyer's scrum team. We'll talk more in Chapter 13 so you can find out how to work with more than one scrum team on a project. If a vendor doesn't use agile project management processes, the vendor's team works separately from the buyer's scrum team, outside of the sprints, and on its own schedule. The vendor's traditional project manager helps ensure that the vendor can deliver its services when the development team needs them. The buyer's scrum master may need to step in if the vendor's processes or timeline becomes a roadblock or disruption for the development team. In Chapter 14, I'll give you more information about working with non-agile teams in the section titled Managing Projects with Dislocated Teams. Here's another tip. If you're working with a vendor that does not use agile processes, the product owner may want to have the traditional team's deliverables be a dependency to adding associated requirements to sprints. Traditional teams often struggle to match the pace of agile teams. Vendors may provide services for a defined amount of time or for the life of the project. Once the vendor's work is complete, the buyer scrum master often manages any closing tasks. Closing a contract. Once a vendor completes work on a contract, the buyer scrum master usually has some final tasks to close the contract. If the project finishes normally, according to the contract terms, the scrum master may wish to acknowledge the end of the contract in writing. If the project is a time and materials project, the scrum master should definitely do so to ensure that the vendor doesn't keep working on lower priority requirements and billing for them. Depending upon the organizational structure and the contract's cost structure, the scrum master may be responsible for notifying the buyer's company accounting department after work is complete to ensure that the vendor is paid properly. If the project finishes before the contract dictates the end, the scrum master needs to notify the vendor in writing and follow any early termination instructions from the contract. Here's a tip. End the engagement on a positive note. If the vendor did a good job, the Scrum team may want to acknowledge the people on the vendor's team at the sprint reviews. Everyone on the project could potentially work together again, and a simple, sincere thank you can help maintain a good relationship for future projects.